And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. It's Thursday. Good morning, everybody. It's the 3rd of March, 2022, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. Hello, Sulu.
Good morning.
I like, you know, I call him that now because he's taking our spaceship of a radio show through the universe.
Gotcha.
By running from Star Trek, from running the running the board. What national day is it today, buddy?
National Hospitalist Day.
Ooh. Okay, how appropriate.
There you go.
Hey, Trish, good morning.
Good morning. It's 57 degrees in downtown Reading. Showers likely and then a chance of showers this evening, a high of 67 and a low of 47. On Friday, another chance of showers, high 62, a low of 37. On Saturday, a high of 67. Chance of showers and then mostly sunny and mostly clear through Saturday night, a low of 36. On Sunday, sunny, a high of 65, a low of 39. And on Monday, a high of 72, sunny, and a low of 40. Doesn't look like we're going to get much rain out of this, and we surely could use it. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay. At the Board of Supervisors meeting Tuesday, they approved a declaration, I guess it would be, from a group of physicians and health care professionals in the county of Shasta. I believe the number is 50 or more. I reached out to the public forum group who wrote this, and I have two of their members that agreed to come on today to talk about these points. And Dr. and I know I'm going to kill your first name. So Fiokist?
Yes, it's Fiokist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again for me.
Fiokist.
Okay,
Orloff.
Yes. Orloff.
Dr. Orloff.
And Dr. James, thank you, James.
Move. Just like what the cow said.
Oh, James, move. Okay, I got that. And I thank you, too, for coming on. A lot of people probably aren't aware of this, even though that it's been put out in a video and they've talked about it.
Well,
and the Board of Supervisors then voted to approve this proclamation. Is that correct, Dr. Orloff?
Sure.
On Tuesday.
Yes. So
originally, there was a forum that was done, and many people attended it, and then it was, you could watch it live at the time, and then you've made it so it's available some places, not every place still. Like you said, you thought it had been taken down on YouTube, which is what they do, but it's still out there because I continue to forward it to people so that they can watch it still.
Correct. Well, you can watch that forum on www.covid19publicforum.com. Still available.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dr. Orloff, what brought about this, the public forum and the declaration?
So the biggest issue, I think, is that the community was really not able to discuss openly different viewpoints. We were being sort of given a agenda-based sort of scientific platform that we needed to follow and medical practice that we needed to sort of follow. And as physicians, we were seeing things on the ground that didn't necessarily correlate with what was being sort of recommended. And so some physicians came together to say, hey, we need to discuss this and we need to sort of educate the public because that's part of what our profession is about, is primarily education. And the scientific discussion, which is foundational to medicine, public health, and that kind of stuff, was really being stifled. And especially the differences of opinion that we may or may not have, and that's what really kind of guides practice, is that we share differences of opinion, and then we come to a consensus at some point.
Now, Dr. Mu, the doctors in this and the health professionals are not against vaccinations. You're not anti-vaxxers. Maybe I should have put that differently. Are you anti-vaxxers?
We are not against vaccines. And, in fact, in our declarations, clearly stated that we are for vaccinating those patients that are at risk. And we just do not believe in massively vaccinate every single person, including those who are do not need it. For example, patients who already had the infection, they have natural immunity, which is much better than vaccine only. The reason is when you give the vaccine, you are producing one type of antibody against one type of protein in the virus that's called monoclonal antibody response, where when you get the infection, you are looking at the whole entire virus. There are multiple proteins. There are at least 20-plus different proteins that our body could produce antibody. That's called polyclonal antibody response. So just for pure logic-wise, ask yourself, what type of antibody is that better than multiple different type of antibodies? And the answer is multiple is better.
You know, be wrong about this. The government and others are encouraging people who have already had COVID to be vaccinated. And what would be the purpose of that?
I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It just did not make any sense.
Okay, so, and that's what you're saying. If you've had COVID, it doesn't make sense to get vaccinated for it.
Correct. Now, the only argument they have stated is that if you get, after infection, and you get vaccinated, you get what we call so-called hybrid immunity. You get higher, antibody count. So that's great. That's wonderful. The question is, do we really need that extra protection or not? To me, it's like you're driving in a car. You have your seatbelt on. Your car is equipped with airbag. And you're asked to wear a bicycle helmet. That bicycle helmet is the extra vaccine that you get. It may help. The question is, do you really need it?
Well, I'm surprised we haven't been told we have to wear helmets in cars.
Yeah. Right.
But then again, it's only 2022.
A question, though, because the vaccine is not without issues.
Correct.
So if you don't need it, taking it can possibly cause you more harm than it can do you good. So why go there if you don't need it?
Well, that makes logical sense to me. Every day there are more and more side effects coming out. But we'll find out more about it.
We're here with Dr. Orloff and Dr. Mu, and we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to have them introduce themselves, you know, who they are, being in Reading and all these things, so people kind of get more of a background about your background. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank has been in our community for 15 years and has continued to grow, but from the day they opened up, they've been moving local dreams forward. Locally owned, local board of directors, 4 branches, and I'll probably after 4 branches, when they go to 5, 6, and 7, I won't mention all the branches. I'll just tell you to go to bankcornerstone.com. But their newest branch is in Anderson, 2727 Ventura Street. They opened up when Anderson got electricity. That's for Trish there. 3 other branches, one in Tehama County at 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff. Of course, the main branch in the heart, in the 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cornerstone Shopping Center. Cobblestone Shopping Center, and of course 1845 California Street. Cornerstone Community Bank, we bank there. We're very happy. We'll be right back with Drs. Orloff and Mu.
Can well, it's all Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria, and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room if you've got questions that way. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. It's kind of like a hangout spot for Trish and Linda. Yeah. But only, you know, only on
Saturdays. It's like a candy store.
Yeah. I know. And expensive.
Expensive candy.
Except it's not that expensive. You've got a great selection of jewelry at fair prices. Don't go in there thinking you have to hawk your house to buy a bracelet. You don't. Four Winds Jewelry. Good people down there. We're here with Dr. Orloff and Dr. Moo, who are part of the 50... around 50, that number of health professionals who wrote a declaration about COVID-19, disagreeing with the government and what the government has been saying over the period of the last 2 years. Not in every case, or not all of it, of course not, but more based on self-determination. So, Dr. Orloff, tell us a little bit about yourself, though. You know, how'd you get here? Get here with the declaration, but you're here in Reading.
So I grew up in Southern California, went to medical school at UCLA, and then came to the Mercy Family Practice Residency Program here in 1994. So I did residency here from 1994 until 1997. Then I worked with the underserved in our population at Shasta Community Health Center for approximately 10 years, from being a staff physician to ultimately being one of their medical directors. And then at that point, chose to transition into private practice in 2006, roughly, and have been in private practice ever since. I also
Are you general
so
practice?
Family practice. And then I also work in the hospital. as a hospitalist. It's National Hospitalist Day, so yay.
Yay.
What is a hospitalist?
So a hospitalist is a doctor that works strictly in the hospital and takes care of the patients once they've been seen in the emergency room and deemed to need to be admitted to the hospital. And the hospital then coordinates all of their care. In the past, a family physician like myself would work both in the office and then, you know, work in the hospital. And what would happen is that you would try to split your time between those two, you know, competing demands. Mm-hmm. And so the system demanded that we needed somebody who was dedicated to be in the hospital, so for efficiency's sake. And so now the primary way people receive care is they get their care outside of the hospital by their general practitioner, family practitioner, or internist. And then when they come into the hospital, traditionally, then they would be taken care of by a hospitalist.
Well, I'm glad for that explanation, because I ended in the hospital a few years back overnight, and it was a first time I'd been aware of that. Frustrating to not be able to talk to the person that you know. I mean, you've got a doctor in there that you've never seen before in your life, and you're absolutely sure knows nothing about you.
Correct. And you know, for the sake of efficiency, we've lost personal touch of transitioning the care from both in and out of the hospital. And
don't make house calls. Okay, I understand.
Most of us don't.
Most of us don't. Okay, and Dr. Mu, your background.
Well, my specialty is also family practice, and I came, like Dr. Orloff, I came from Southern California to Redding for a residency program in 1990. And after finishing my residency, another doctor and myself have decided to stay to open up our private practice. So I've been in private practice for 30 years. In fact, it was a funny story that when we opened our practice, we're deciding what to call our practice. One of the suggestions was two guys from L.A., but that sounded too much like a pizza place, so we decided not
pizza
to
pizza or hamburger.
That. Right.
Yeah, something like that. I kind of like it, though.
Yeah.
So you're both family practitioners and have been up here for an extended period of time. What led you into this declaration?
Well, primarily I think it's that people needed to hear an alternative. They needed to hear the data being spoken out publicly. They needed to have some of the data analyzed and interpreted. And because even when you look at the data from the CDC, the data may show one particular thing, but then the interpretation at the bottom is that we should all be vaccinated across the board, right? And that's the official position, and that's what people are being recommended to do.
I think for me, what you people clarified when you did that forum, we had been receiving on a daily basis one piece of information, which was then contradicted by the next piece of information the next day, and then was contradicted again. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear two masks, get a vaccination, don't get a vaccination, stay home, don't stay home. It was, for the average person, daunting to figure out exactly what you were supposed to be doing to try to protect yourself. When they started with the mandates, I'd like to get into the mandate part of that, because I think that's when people really got, okay, so they say take a shot, and if you can choose, but when they start saying they're going to mandate it for jobs and children, and that's a whole other thing.
Let me bring back just to your initial point.
Okay.
And I want to clarify that science is muddy, it's unclear, it's evolving, you know, so science is data-driven, and so data is not always crystal clear. And data changes over time, and we need to adapt and be able to pivot and sort of accept where the data is leading us. When we stop looking at the data and look at it objectively and start advocating for certain positions, then we have to ignore certain parts of data in order to be able to express our position and be able to say, hey, this is what we want the public to know and to do, so we're going to ignore this section of the data points because that may deter the public from doing what we expect.
My physician told me I have pulmonary idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, so I've been careful about my lungs for many, many years. And he told me that what we know about this COVID is that we don't know.
Correct.
I think the one-size-all approach that we've been hammered with, it's like everything that's one-size-fits-all. It really doesn't fit anybody. Except maybe a small percentage. One of the things, and again, let me point out that the doctors are not against vaccines at all. But it's, I'm sorry.
That's correct. We are for vaccines. For a patient like you, Tricia, since you have lung disease, you should get the vaccinated.
My son is an EMT paramedic, has been for years, and I was vaccinated early on.
Very good. And I was vaccinated early on, and I got my breakthrough infection during the summer of 2021. To me, mandating is like industrialized wholesale medicine. It take away the physician and patient coordination there. We should really, really individualize the medicine, tailored to our patient's needs. If you have natural infection, you really don't need the vaccine unless you're much higher risk. And if you have potential side effects, then you have to really rethink about the vaccine. There should be some consent involving this rather than get it or else you lose your job or you lose your education.
Or you can't go to see Hamilton, or you can't go to get a hamburger in L.A.?
Correct. And that's exactly what we sort of outline in detail in our declaration. I mean, one of the key points for me in the declaration is we believe in the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship and the ethical principle of informed consent. And these are foundational for the practice of medicine, are ultimately undermined by the mandates. I have an anecdote, if you guys don't mind me sharing a little bit. I have talked to my patients all the time about vaccination because that's the topic of the day for the last couple of years. And in one particular case, it really has stood out with me, a retired nurse who has multiple comorbidities. She's on oxygen, she has diabetes, she's overweight. Came in and I saw her in July and I said, why aren't you vaccinated yet? And she says, well, my family believes that the government is mandating these vaccines. There must be a nefarious purpose to the mandates and therefore they are very against vaccination. I said, well, do me a favor, just go to the pharmacy, get vaccinated, and it'll be our secret. And she says, no, I can't do that because that's against what my family wants and they live with me and so on. And I'm very sad that ultimately 2 months later during the Delta wave, she ended up contracting COVID, ended up in the hospital, battled for 4 to 6 weeks, and finally died from COVID as a result of, in my opinion, this mandate that forced her to make this a social or political decision as opposed to a doctor-patient decision, which I was strongly advocating for her to be vaccinated to protect herself.
Yeah. It's so complicated, but you're right. There are people who take that because, let's face it, we don't trust our government at this point in a lot of instances.
That's led to a lot of this. When you go back, I'm going to take an early break, only because I want to get back into numbers here, statistics. That was said by the heads of the various medical organizations here about number of people in the hospital. I know that the CDC went back and had to change that, saying people are admitted to hospitals for COVID as opposed to with COVID. And that seemed like a sea change there when they said that. But we'll be right back after these messages. We're with Dr. Orloff and Dr. Mu. They were part of the organization that started the COVID-19 public forum and put a proclamation out that was just approved by the Board of Supervisors. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Wind River Resort and Casino's got the grub, games, and giveaways this St. Patrick's Day. Food specials, green beer, table games, swipe to win, and giveaways Thursday, March 17th. Come down and celebrate with us.
Don't forget to wear green.
Find your moments at the river. Enjoy an affordable staycation experience at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Standard rooms only $89 a night, Sunday through Thursday.
Valid through March 31st.
Must have a River Club card. Some restrictions apply.
Mention promo code WINTER2022 and find your moment at the river.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House. Pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Shasta Cruising is gearing up for the car show season and will be hosting Shasta Show and Shines from April 16th through the 23rd. Sign up online today for your Shasta Show and Shine 2022 Pit Pass, then check in at each event for your chance to win great prizes. Don't miss the Show and Shine, Dub Nuts at the Running Dragstrip, and PIVS April 23rd. Check out the full schedule of events at www.shastacruising.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Today, the 3rd of March, 7:33 in the morning. It's raining right now.
That's good news. Let's bring it on.
This is the day I'm supposed to take some ladies out on the firing range. You know, they're probably going to, oh, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, no. But, hey, yeah, this portion of the show brought to you by, I know, Quick and Clean Car Wash. Hey, everybody, you had your chance yesterday. And you'll have it again probably Saturday. This is the finest small car wash you're ever going to find right here in town. It's on corner of Market and Eureka Way, right next to Dutch Bros. They do a fantastic job on your car. They have a young person out there that wipes it down afterwards with a soft clean towel. This is a good place. If you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free. You buy 10, you get 3 free at Quick and Clean. Trish and I are here with Dr. Orloff and Dr. Moo, both long-term time physicians here in Reading, a family practice. They're a part of this, of a group of 50 or so health professionals that have put out a proclamation. I think it's 19 points.
10 points.
Oh, I'm sorry, 10 points. I'm looking at COVID-19.
Healthcare workers' COVID-19 declaration.
Right. And in this, it doesn't say they're against vaccines by any means. It doesn't say anything like that. It just says that individuals should have a say, along with their healthcare professionals, as opposed to a mandate.
Correct.
And when we left, we talked about statistics, because I have brought these statistics up before. I look at the statistics that say 90% of the people in our hospitals with COVID have not been vaccinated. And then of that percentage that die, you know, it's even a higher percentage of people who are not vaccinated who die from COVID. Those numbers aren't necessarily up to date.
That is correct. When I read that recently, I was thinking, that doesn't sound right, because the other hospitals around the world and around our country, that unvaccinated number is much lower than that. So I went to one of the local hospitals to find out what the true statistics is. And the one I found out within 1 week period, sometime in February, there were 24 unvaccinated individuals out of 45 that were in the hospital for COVID.
That's about 50%.
I would say about 50 to 60%-ish, because there were five person not accounted for. Mm-hmm. So it's about 60%. Which is still higher compared to other parts of the country. Other parts of the country would be anywhere from 25 to 50% unvaccinated.
But it just stands to reason, if you're unvaccinated, you have a better chance of catching COVID or not.
Well, we're all going to catch COVID sooner or later.
Okay.
That's, yes.
That's, okay. Keep going.
But if you have underlying medical conditions, you are more likely to get severe illness. Mm-hmm. And therefore ending up in the hospital. That's why Dr. Orloff and I, we believe in early treatment. I have a special, I asked my staff to put a higher priority on our COVID patients. If they call and say, I think I got COVID, we'll try our best to see them that day or the next day. Mm-hmm. And I've been in practice for 30 years. And I want to slow down a little bit. So Fridays are my Friday off, my day off. But with COVID, I've decided to open up some time to see COVID patients. So I do come in on Fridays. And before January 1st, I was there every Fridays. Now, there was a tiny little window between Delta and Omicron. It was kind of quiet, so I got some of my Fridays off. Now, with Omicron, I have to open up Fridays, because both Dr. Orloff and I would believe in really treating these patients early, because that will help reduce the hospitalization for these patients.
And that was one of my original things. I had a friend who got very ill, and I kept calling her every day, and she was never seen by a doctor. She was in Reno. They wouldn't see her. They just kept telling her to stay there and get well. And I said, well, they're not giving you anything. They're not treating you in any way. I never heard of a disease that we don't try to treat in some manner.
We had a show based on that when they were talking about the monoclonals, how if you got COVID, you just waited till you got better or you got to the hospital.
Right. And one of the things the concern was unvaccinated, quote-unquote unvaccinated population, clogging up the hospital. And my suggestion to one of the hospital administrators was, look, if you're concerned about COVID patient coming in, having long stay in the hospital, why do you not promote monoclonal antibody treatment? I did not get the answer. Because if your goal is to reduce
there was no answer.
You have to promote it. And I have not heard on radio or anybody. The only thing I heard is vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate.
That's right.
They should really promote monoclonal antibody. We could have cut down so many hospitalizations. Even just a simple promotion of vitamin D could have cut down the severity of the illness.
Let's go to the phones. Rob, you have a question for the doctors. Hello, Rob.
Hello. Hi. Hi. I can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Get it closer.
Yeah. So, mother-in-law passed away from it back in November. The thing is this whole idea of early treatment was kind of looked on in a negative light. Instead of, you know, people, and especially doctors, taking an integrative approach and saying, hey, you know what, there are things that you can do preventatively. You know, my mother-in-law had, you know, a lot of other conditions as well that contributed. But the whole idea of, like, if you talk to any of the staff at the hospitals, they will not consider outpatient protocols or inpatient protocols for early treatment. And so we had tried to get that early treatment ivermectin for my mother-in-law, which everybody likes to call it horse paste and things like that. It does a disservice to the people who are actually practicing medicine and treating people and saving lives with the medicine. And so it's really interesting that you have these two doctors on, and then you have the other group of doctors here in town that are, like, trying to say that, you know, hey, you know, this is the way it has to be. And it's like, why don't you guys show up and, you know, man up and have a scientific debate about the merits of early treatment versus the protocols that you guys are using in the hospital that, quite frankly, in my opinion, are killing people.
Hey, Rob.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for your question and your statement here. But we are going to have, we're reaching out to the other doctors who wrote and signed the other part of this, questioning the proclamation. So that's a good question to ask them about that. Now, let's talk about that. The letter that was written and signed by numerous people, the leaders of the hospitals and others, they said that the vast majority of physicians practicing in Shasta County think that did not sign on with you all.
Well, that's true. I mean,
and
we've been called fringe.
Fringe,
you know,
right?
This is the first time
they
I've
called
heard.
You friends, but misguided. I heard that also.
That's true. I mean, but I think that we need to go back and take a look at who's sitting here. Two physicians who don't represent an organization, two physicians that are independent. We have the luxury to be able to speak out and put our own license on the line and our own livelihood on the line, and that's what we feel compelled to do in order to be able to get this information out. Some people don't have that luxury. They work for an organization, and top down, you're told that there's certain things that you need to follow, and you know, when there's a protocol that you're supposed to follow, then you may end up being taken to task if you don't. So I think it's hard for people to speak out. I think that when I communicate with physicians that work in organizations, they are supportive. I think we all mostly agree, even the people that came to speak at the Board of Supervisors meeting that spoke for the CEOs in the organizations agree that mandates are not necessarily what they would support.
I can't emphasize strongly enough the statements that you just made. I think people absolutely have to understand what the liability is to the person who's making the statement. Because that's the key. Follow the money. You have to, in our society, recognize that the nurses, I have a lot of friends in the medical community who will not speak on they can't. Their livelihood, their families, they're gonna give up they're not in a position to give up their jobs and their way of life to make a statement that isn't going to make that much difference and in fact have such a personal impact on them.
Right. I have many conversations with other physicians who are strong supporters of vaccine, and we support vaccines as well. But in private, they would tell me that they do not like mandates. They hate the mandates because I think they do see that it's counterproductive as well. But they can't speak up. And also, if you look at the different practices, like Dr. Orlov said, he's in private practice, I'm in private practice, and Dr. Malachi's in private practice. those doctors who are promoting early treatments are in private practice. Those organized medicine, even though a lot of physicians believe in early treatment, they cannot practice it because they were told not to.
Well, I think Dr. Malachi has stated that he has seen 260-something patients with COVID and has not lost one. I thought I saw a statement he had made.
I think he said that during the forum.
Yeah, we've got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about a big thing is vaccinations for children and the statistics on that. We're with Dr. Orloff and Dr. Mu, who are part of a group of medical professionals who wrote a proclamation, or a declaration, I should say, a 10-point declaration that was just approved by the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We'll be right back.
Well, when we come back, I want to be sure that we give the information about how people can get this information.
Absolutely.
Center and SCAR are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Seek Center at 5400 Seek Center Drive in Anderson. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters. Kids 5 to 11 and youths 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients and special toys and gifts to the kids. No appointment needed. No insurance needed. Free COVID-19 at-home testing kits will also be available, along with free hand sanitizer and masks. This is a drive-through and walk-up clinic, so you can stay in the comfort of your vehicle and get vaccinated, or head inside and get vaccinated. There will also be a team of medical professionals on hand at this free vaccination clinic at the Seek Center at 5400 Seek Center Drive in Anderson, Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The 36th annual Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show is back live at the Shasta District Fairgrounds March 4th through the 6th. Meet world famous Tag, the 10-foot-tall half-ton Kodiak there, sponsored by KRCR News Channel 7. See Squatch, America's 10-foot-tall, 800-pound Sasquatch. See and shop for your outdoor recreation needs from a host of new exhibitors. You'll see guides and lodges. Sign up to win a guided Kenai fishing experience. Don't miss the Legends of the Northwest Big Game Display, sponsored by Action News Now. For the kids, there's the Pepsi Live Trout Pond, Archery Range, and BB Gun Range. Catch the fishing demonstrations on Phil's Bass Bin. See ATVs, RVs, boats, wall tents, and more at low show prices. All this and more at the Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show, presented by Interstate Batteries, March 4th through the 6th. See you there. For more info, visit ExposureShows.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Hey, we're here with Doctors Orloff and Mu, who were part of the 50 or so medical professionals that made a declaration, a 10-point declaration about COVID-19 the public forum. And we're going to tell you how you can get this information and how you can see it. Later on, toward the end of the program. And watch the forum. Children getting vaccinated. 5 years up to 17. It was, I'm not sure if that's mandated or not. It seems like it changes, but there's, what is the latest on children of 5 years old being vaccinated for COVID? Is that still a requirement for school?
So it's not a requirement yet,
okay.
But the idea is that it's passing through the assemblies right now to become a requirement. And my understanding is that come July is when the mandate may come into effect for the following school year to be able to have children, all children from 5 to 18, to be vaccinated, to be able to attend in person.
And yet we're pulling the mask requirement, it sounds, on March 14th?
Correct.
Correct.
What are your thoughts on this? Children from age 5 to 17.
So
are the statistics there to say to do that?
I don't believe so. I think the New York public health data just came out this week, showed that specifically with Omicron, I mean, the data may have been different with Delta and the original variant, and because the vaccine was more effective potentially for those variants. But with Omicron specifically, the data that just came out this week from New York public health showed that after 30 days, with vaccination, the protection that you have against getting COVID, symptomatic COVID, dropped to 12%.
Okay.
So in other words, unfortunately, because the virus had changed, the current Omicron is totally different than the original virus, and the vaccine is designed for the original virus. The target is completely off. And thank God that our children has tremendous immunity, and they have good way to fight off viruses. And when this first started, we knew that there is difference in terms of risk. If you're older, have multiple medical problems, you have much higher risk dying from this virus. With children, though, very low risk of that. And majority of kids who die as a result of coronavirus have multiple medical problems, either have severe lung disease, cancer, heart disease, congenital diseases.
And Dr. Traugott alluded to maybe a possible explanation for this in the fact that the ACE2 receptor on our cells, which is essentially a docking port for the spike protein of the virus, is something that we develop and produce more of as we get older. So in children, they have very few of these receptors that are available, so there's very few docking ports for the spike protein to be able to attach and infect and cause severe disease. Whereas as we get older, that's why we see this virus predominantly sort of affect the elderly population, because they have many more docking stations for this virus to attach.
Okay, now how do people see your public forum and get more information?
Our website is COVID-19publicforum.com. That's one word. 19 is the number 1 and number 9. COVID-19publicforum.com.
And the public forum is available, and it lasts, what, a couple hours? Or
So it's broken down on the website,
okay,
into segments. So if you want to just watch, you know, what I presented, which was the difference between natural versus vaccine-based immunity, in which we talk about the benefits of both or what the data shows, you know, you can look at certain sections. So you can break it up into usable, you know, manageable sort of chunks.
I want to encourage everyone out there listening to take the time, sit down and watch this. You can watch it at your leisure, as you indicated. There were how many? 7 presentations? 7
yep.
Different doctors who made presentations on different subjects. There was a question and answer period. I can't encourage people strongly enough to take the time to listen to the common sense information. And even the speakers, I want to point out, you didn't all agree with each other. You all had some common sense reasons behind what you were saying.
Right.
So important.
And on that website, there's also our declaration as well. If you look at it, if you agree we'd like to encourage you to sign it. You could sign it publicly or anonymously.
Okay. And you can forward it on to other people to watch. It's good information.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones. Dr. McConnell, we've only got a couple minutes.
Okay, Carl, I'll make it fast and good to add here. In support of what you're just saying is I've gone to, just 4 days ago, to the State Public Health Department data for COVID experience in California, and the 5 to 17-year age group statewide, there's been 36 deaths over the 2 years we've been experiencing COVID, and these children are almost all unvaccinated. And the number of children in the state that are in that age group, 5 to 17, is 6,500,000 children, with 36 deaths out of that group, sadly. But the mortality rate for that is easily calculable. And the interesting thing, the risk for a child is exquisitely small. Risk of death, the risk for a child dying of COVID is 1/4,000 of the risk of an 80-year-old with COVID in this state. And those numbers are public. The magnitude of difference between the 5 to 17-year age group versus the seniors is in the fold of 1,000 to 4,000 higher rate of death. And that's where the disease focus and treatment should be, or prevention and vaccination. But there's little evidence. If you vaccinate everybody, they never get COVID. You're really talking about the cost of vaccinating 6 million children plus. And it's been called the life-saving vaccine by a governor. But there's 36 lives which have been claimed. That's always sad. But it's
okay. Okay, Doc, we got to run. Thanks for your phone call. And okay. Mike, good morning. If you have a question, we only got a couple minutes.
Okay, Doc.
I can't hear you.
Hello.
Yeah,
this is Mike.
You're on. Mike.
What I wanted to ask is I was trying to get something lined up in case my in-laws or me and my wife get COVID. And I was calling around trying to get monoclonal treatment, and I saw something online. It's called a COVID clinic. And they wouldn't let you call them. You had to email them. And they said they only took cash. It was like $900 for the treatment. My question is monoclonal going to become more available where you wouldn't have to go through something like that and pay $900 out of your pocket?
Okay. Thanks.
But you heard of that clinic also that charts pays, you got to pay cash for it.
Okay. All right.
Is it available?
Are the monoclonals available?
So the traditional access for monoclonals is in the emergency room. So because you need to start an IV or you need to have multiple injections and that sort of thing. So what happens is that if your oxygen levels, the traditional recommendation is your oxygen levels start to drop below 95%, but before they get to a critical level below 90, you come in and you get monoclonal antibodies at the emergency room, and then you go home after that. If you need to be hospitalized, then you're no longer eligible for monoclonal antibodies based on the recommendations of the CDC. If you want to get outpatient monoclonal antibodies, I do need to give a shout-out to Dr. Davis and the Reading Rain Sharia for providing a clinic, outpatient clinic, for having availability for monoclonal antibodies. The antibodies are limited, though, and the monoclonal antibodies originally were designed against the alpha strain, which don't work very well against the variations and the mutations. So they have come out with new monoclonal antibodies that are more specific for Omicron and mm-hmm. Delta.
Okay, last question here. Governor Newsom said that COVID is endemic. Can you talk about that just for a second? Endemic means that it's with us forever.
Endemic means that this virus is with us forever. This virus in animal kingdom. So your cats, dogs, your squirrel, your deer, your coyotes, they all have it, and they will circulate. They will continue to mutate. Mm-hmm. And we just have to live with it. It's going to be like a common cold, winter cold from now on. If you survive your first COVID, congratulations. And the next one, in theory, should be much milder. And that is true. I have a couple of patients who had it before, was in the hospital, severe case. The second one they encountered, even with Delta, it was much milder for them.
Okay. So this is something that we're going to be living with then.
We're going to have to live with it, stay healthy, take your vitamin D, quit smoking, all the good
lose
stuff.
Lose weight.
Be healthy.
And, right. Yeah. And
take a deep breath, take a step back, and live with it.
We deeply care for our patients, and we're going to tailor our treatment for our patients. We're going to use a combination of vaccine, early treatment to make sure they stay out of the hospital.
Okay. One more time, how people can go to your website.
So it's www.COVID19forum.com.
And we will, we're reaching out to people who have kind of opposing this so they can also come on and we can talk about that side of it too. Thank you so much, Dr. Orloff and Moo, for joining us today. I'm going to just have to bring you back again because there's so many questions that people ask.
More than happy to.
Okay. All right. Great. Hey, we're going to take a break from the news. We come back. Aaron Reznor, Reading City Council person, but also running for District 1 supervisor, will be our guest.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Last few minutes, minibus after minibus has been arriving here, unloading people who've just crossed the border on foot. It's a pretty organized response. I noticed overnight that there was a statement from the Russian military saying that civilians would be allowed to leave Kiev to the south. That might sound a generous offer from an invading army. In fact, I think many of the Ukrainians I've been speaking to here over the past days would see that as a threat. In other words, the Russians are, in a way, trying to increase this wave of refugees.
And Ukrainian President Zelensky saying that Ukrainian doctors have been treating wounded Russian troops. Zelensky urging those troops to turn around and go home. In Washington, President Biden appealing to Congress to approve more money for Ukraine as well as for COVID-related expenses.
As lawmakers try to wrap up a planned budget agreement by next week, the White House is seeking two major additions. The administration wants another $10 billion to help protect Ukraine against the Russian invasion, plus an extra $22.5 billion to pay for testing, treatments, and vaccine.
And that's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. More volatility this morning on Wall Street. The key averages, which had been higher, are now in the red. The Dow is down 147 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index off 193, and the S&P 31 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm cute kid number one.
And I'm cute kid number two.
And we have been forced.
You mean hired?
We have been hired.
To tell you what direct lender FOMO is.
So let's say you buy a new home,
and maybe you use one of those big mortgage monsters,
or someone your realtor or friend recommends.
And then a few months later,
you hear us being forced,
hired,
to tell you about our mortgage team's direct lender advantage.
And then you feel like you missed out,
because you probably did miss out.
And that is direct lender FOMO.
It's Ryan, and our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This often allows us to get you a better rate on that new home mortgage, saving you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to Animalist Consumer Access, Federal or Corporate Animalist Number 1335, Rack Animalist Number 65233, Equal Housing Lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A Tokyo court has handed a suspended sentence to the former American executive at Nissan charged with underreporting his boss's pay.
Tokyo prosecutors have got their conviction. Greg Kelly has been found guilty on one count of hiding the true amount that Nissan Motors was paying its former chief executive Carlos Ghosn. However, the Tokyo court ruled that Mr. Kelly was not guilty of a wider conspiracy to hide tens of millions of dollars of remuneration to the former CEO. The prosecutors had asked for a 2-year jail term. Instead, Mr. Kelly was given a 6-month suspended sentence and should now be able to leave Japan almost immediately.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Philippine troops killed at least 7 ISIS terrorists in a recent offensive in the south. Also recovering 45 heavy firearms, several bombs and landmines that the military says were to be used in future attacks. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the administration is out to strip Russian oligarchs of their riches.
Secretary Yellen says the U.S. wants to uncover, freeze, and seize the global wealth of Russian millionaires supportive of President Vladimir Putin and his war on Ukraine. The head of the Treasury made her remarks in a speech at the University of Illinois Chicago after visiting a Ukrainian bakery to show support for that embattled country. She told reporters that the Treasury Department would monitor how sanctions against Russian companies and powerful individuals are performing and suggested they will intensify. Yellen stressed that with the world's largest economies united, it will be difficult for Russia to avoid the financial bite of the restrictions. Jennifer King, Washington.
An improving jobs picture. The Labor Department reports the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits fell last week, dropped by 18,000 from the previous week, falling to 215,000. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're on 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday right here at Free Fire Radio. The time is 8:05 on the 3rd of March. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And it's National Hospitalist Day. Is there another national day there?
There's a few. Cold Cuts Day.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, I think we could have said that. National Cold Cuts. I mean, salami and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Mm-hmm. Here, of course, with Trish Clark.
Yes, because it's Thursday morning.
It's Thursday morning.
It's 53 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for showers likely and then a chance of showers. This evening, a high of 67 and a low of 47 this evening. Showers likely through the end of the week. On Friday, a high of 62, a low of 37. On Saturday, a high of 61 and a low of 36, turning mostly clear. On Sunday, sunny and a high of 65 and a low of 39. Monday, a high of 72, a low of 40, and kind of sticking around the high 70s through the following week. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay.
Yeah. Anderson-based business.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, it's Thursday morning. We're going to do our community calendar, and that's brought to you by Siskiyou Insurance.
Thank you, Carl. Pat Karch here. KCNR offers its listeners lots of different ways to stay in touch. They have the live video feed, of course, AM and FM, but the community calendar is a new addition that Carl has put on there. You can post your events to that calendar. If you go to the KCNR website, that's kcnr1460.com, you'll find the calendar listed under events at the bottom. And in there, it'll say add your event. So just a couple of things to let you know what's coming up this week. Of course, we have the monthly Frontier Senior Center Community Breakfast. Trish, what day of the month is that?
That's the first Sunday of every month.
Right on.
From 8 to 11, come down and join us.
That's down at the Anderson Senior Center. Great place to go down. And coming up also, we have, and I'm using my device, by the way. You can get this on your phone, folks. Leadership Reading Annual Socials coming up at the Riverview Golf and Country Club. And you can find that on our website there. And but also the thing that I love the most every year, and Carl graciously gave me some tickets to this, the 36th Annual NorCal Boat and Sport and RV Show. Thank you for that, Carl. My son and I go to that every year, you know.
And speaking of that, I have two tickets to give away to the first person that calls, 605-4567. You get two tickets to that. Just come on down and pick them up.
That's okay. About it. There's other items. You can find them there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Pat. Our guest this morning is Aaron Resner. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aaron, of course, is a member of our city council and threw her hat in the ring. For the first district supervisor position.
Yeah, I did do that.
Worst kept secret in the world.
You know, it's I didn't make that decision lightly, and I would say that there may potentially have been rumors circulating before I made a decision. But you know, it's nice to have support. It's nice to have support and have people. Think that I would be good at that position.
Well, before we get into the county, let me ask you a question. That last year, money was loaned from REU to the city to redo the soccer park and the soccer field.
Right.
It had not been taken care of. The management of it.
Yeah, there was a faulty field. Yeah. We went through, while I sat on the CSAC, the Community Services Advisory Commission, that we battled with the manufacturer of the product because it was faulty product, and we went through a long lawsuit with that manufacturer, and the city got a portion of that.
Right. Well, it came up to forgive that loan
this
Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the vote was no. Why?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know that
I would have asked that the other way, too. You know, it has been, you all voted to forgive the loan. Why?
So. I can give my personal experience and why it is that I voted against that. Mostly for me, when we discussed that, so it's important to know that the money that we used to replace the soccer park was money that we had gotten out of or received from an Enron deal. So it wasn't ratepayer money. It was money that we had sold and then been tied up for quite some time in the Enron lawsuit, and we finally received that money back because we were found not guilty. So that money wasn't ratepayer money, but when we discussed that, it really was a discussion of, are you loaning the city money and that we've been paying it back? Mm-hmm. And although I don't think that it would impact REU in any sort of financial way, I've always just made decisions based on what it was that I gave my word to do. And so I felt like that when I voted yes for REU to loan the city money for the soccer park, which really, really, really needed done and looks beautiful. We have thousands of children who play out there. It really was something that needed to be done. But I gave my word that that was a loan when I voted for it, and so I felt like I needed to do that.
Okay. That, you know, if...
There are impacts of that, though.
There are
impacts because it is a requirement. We have not decided how it is that loan is going to be repaid. That hasn't been a discussion that we have had, and we likely won't have that discussion until our next budget hearings. However, it is a potential impact to the general fund. It could potentially be $350,000 that's not in the general fund that we could have used for other things.
But there's
pros and cons there.
When you decided to do it, that was part of it. Hey, we're going to borrow it and pay it back. That was the understanding.
Yes.
And I'm really, as a taxpayer and as a citizen here, was really happy to see that, hey, that's what we said and that's what we did. So...
Before we jump to the supervisor thing, I have one more thing I'd like to
yeah,
ask you
for
about
sure.
for the city. This morning on the news, coming in, listening to Sue McClain NewsHour, I heard about the park that you're building in downtown, downtown. There's some funding coming through that you're going to build a city park.
It sounded like it's right next to the Shasta College.
Oh, that is part of the McConnell development.
Yeah.
So we have partnerships in that sort of way. There is green space currently where we have green space between Shasta College and From the Hearth at the moment. And so when the McConnell design came forward, it also included repurposing some open space so that all of those apartments and people living in that area would not lose any of that green space because that's valuable to the community. I'm not sure if you've ever been out there during From the Hearth. There are lots of kids running up and down that grassy area. And so in that development, there will be some. Are you familiar?
Right down the street. Okay. And the street goes all the way down to Yuba.
Yes.
So they're not running around in there.
Sorry. They have been running around in there. And with the development, what we did is that we repurposed the McConnell design repurposed and the city approved more green space.
Okay.
Because when we decided to punch the road through, thanks, Carl. When we decided to punch the road through.
I thought I'd lost my, you know, I
no,
just
no, no,
thought
no.
maybe I'm talking about some police else.
But my question is,
yes.
given the homeless problem that we have in downtown Reading, the problems we've had with Tiger Field and all of those things, my visual is, what are you doing? How are you going to control?
I think presence is the biggest thing that we have really noticed. It's what I ran on before, and we have seen that. And I think that we've seen that as we've continued to play the whack-a-mole game with various different transient populations, is that they would like to be where it is that there is not traffic. And when we have 900 people living in that area, walking through the park in and out, they don't want to be in that area. And I don't think that we will have the same sort of problems that we have in like a, you know, behind the library sort of deal or in a space in which there is not continuous traffic. We don't see those sort of things in the areas where there's high foot traffic because, you know, light shines out darkness.
The other two things that just happened was you all approved the funding for 7 more police Yeah. 9 more police, something like that. Yeah. I just had the police on yesterday. I should remember this. But also for the body cameras.
Yes, we did. California is making a I thought that would be something that the chief probably said. That's the direction in which that California is going, and we would like to have that.
And this was the police's
idea. It was their idea. Yeah. I checked with them prior to because historically they have been they have not wanted that. And most of that has come from storage.
Right. It was the whole thing was storage cost.
It's mostly a storage cost, but that is the direction in which the California is going to require us to be, and so we thought that we would head that off in the beginning. But yes, they are gonna.
But more police. We've got more police now.
Well, that's the goal. We still have to hire them, and that's been difficult in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But that will put us back to what we were at 2008, 2009, if we can achieve that. And that was the goal for us, which also was a goal for me when I ran for council, to get us back to what we were prior to recession.
Okay. We're here with Aaron Reznor, Reading City Council person, but also running for District 1 Supervisor. Now we're going to shift to county.
Yeah, for sure.
But those are big things. Those are three big things that just happened in the last week.
Yeah.
That I think I wanted to hear your take on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your financial and insurance needs under one roof. Judy Maxwell has been in the business since 1993, helping our community, family, seniors, veterans, business owners. And they're, like I said, two separate divisions that are there to support you. Judy treats her customers as friends. She only gives the best advice. Give her a call at 221-0441 or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
The Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
The 36th annual Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show is back live at the Shasta District Fairgrounds March 4th through the 6th. Meet world-famous Tag, the 10-foot-tall half-ton Kodiak Bear, sponsored by KRCR News Channel 7. See Squatch, America's 10-foot-tall, 800-pound Sasquatch. See and shop for your outdoor recreation needs from a host of new exhibitors. You'll see guides and lodges. Sign up to win a guided Kenai fishing experience. Don't miss the Legends of the Northwest Big Game Display, sponsored by Action News Now. For the kids, there's the Pepsi Live Trout Pond, Archery Range, and BB Gun Range. Catch the fishing demonstrations on Phil's Bass Bin. See ATVs, RVs, boats, wall tents, and more at low show prices. All this and more at the Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show, presented by Interstate Batteries, March 4th through the 6th. See you there. For more info, visit ExposureShows.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the stages of KCNR. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Hey, if you've had a work injury and you're not getting treated because of denials, give Patrick Gorman a call. It's a free consultation, and a work injury can be life-changing. The insurance companies have lots of attorneys. You know, you need one that understands the system, and Patrick Gorman, he understands the system. He worked for the insurance companies for a few years and said, nope. Oh, there's got to be a better way of living life. He's a fighter. So give Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, a call at 530-262-2168. We're here with Erin Reznor, a Reading City Councilperson, business woman. I've got to throw in that she and her husband have Dutch Bros.
Yeah, we do.
And one of our advertisers is a Quick and Clean Car Wash. We mentioned Dutch Bros, and everyone, you should give us a dollar or something.
We probably should.
Yeah, it's right next to Dutch Bros. And Reading City Councilperson, and is running for County Supervisor District 1.
Yes.
Why did you run?
Well,
why are you running?
Well, I would say that
for the county.
In 2020, I chose to homeschool our two older children because I wasn't sure what education was going to look like and what schools were going to look like. And so I chose to homeschool our two olders. And I get to choose the units. And this one of the units in the last year was American government, and we went over all of the things. And I was explaining local government and structure to our now 13-year-old. And I was explaining that the county is sort of locally like the big brother, and the city is like the little brother. Except for it hit me in that moment while I was teaching him about what that government organization and jurisdictions looked like, that oftentimes the county doesn't act like the wiser big brother. We're not, the county is not often the example, and the city is often leading, and really it should be that the county is out front leading from like wisdom, that they have bigger coffers and that they've learned and that they're bringing the city along, and that's not what I have, what I have witnessed. And so I would like to be, that was sort of the moment for me where I was like, I would like to make that different. I think that we have real strong possibility that we're on the cusp of making some really, really great and incredible changes that will impact our community for the future. And I'd like to use that momentum and move us forward.
What are those changes? I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I think the one thing that would personally matter to you is that we should do a better job with our veterans department. I know that that's a department. I've met with every single department head, and that department specifically doesn't feel like that they get the same love as all of the other departments. And if we really want to honor those who have made ultimate sacrifices, then we should really be honoring our veterans because they have made a sacrifice that none of the rest of us have had, and they need to be honored. So, I would like to do a better job specifically for that, and I thought that that would matter to you.
You just have to have that support, and they're trying really hard.
They're trying really hard. We actually have a really great team.
We do have a good team.
We have a great team there. I think they're doing wonderful things, but I would love to show that team more public recognition. We also need a public safety sort of campus. So whatever you want to call that, whether you want to call that a life center, whether you want to call that a transitional sort of center, we need a collaboration between Health and Human Services and the Sheriff's Office so that we have a public safety campus. And I think that we're heading in that direction. But I'd love to see things like medical-assisted treatment facilities within there. I'd love to see other sort of rehab. And I think that we can make some real serious progress in those sort of ways. I also think that we need to have some of these like non-conventional sort of partnerships for simple things like hard drive space. It's not a sexy thing to talk about, but
no.
You and I just talked about that in terms of that's what's held us back in terms of body cameras. Not that our officers have anything to hide,
no.
But purely what it looks like for storage.
Yeah.
That's an actual thing. We have actual things that need tackled, and those are not as flashy sort of items, but those are things in which that need tackled. And I think that if we get everybody together and start having those conversations, because at the moment what we're doing is creating a lot of division. And while we're pointing fingers and creating division, no actual work is getting done. No actual work is getting done. And we have things that really need, like you were talking about in terms of like homelessness, we have actual things that need attention. The City of Reading's CERT team, Crisis Intervention Response Team, is doing an incredible job. Those people who get called pretty often, we'll call them like frequent flyers in terms of people often call and report these folks. When our CERT team shows up, they then have to take them and connect with the county to get them into the appropriate place for them. So whether that's mental health services or whether that's, you know, housing or drug addiction or something along those things to move those people off of the streets to stop being a nuisance for other people, but also to get the people the help in which that they need in the right space. And we're having some clunkiness in there, and we could be doing a better job, which means better life all around for our community.
Aaron, we've gone through a tremendous thing with the Board of Supervisors over the last few months, and there's been a lot of acrimony in the boardroom.
Right.
From a educated, somewhat experience of having served there, how do you see how that all developed, and what can you do to bring the professionalism back to the boardroom, be responsive to the community, which this board has not been, in my opinion,
right?
Be proactive as opposed to reactive, that's my picture of what has been going on.
I think that's a good perception. Watching, I would say that in my time as mayor of the City of Reading, that there was a lot of engagement, and we didn't have the same sort of maybe restrictions. There was a lot of access to the City Council, and I think that if that access, I think that that's the access is where it is that people want to be heard. And we deeply want to be known, and we want to be listened to, and we want to know that our voice and our opinion matters. And I think that we can do that in a respectful way, in which I think that we have shown on the City Council that we can do that in a respectful way. I think that things like maybe an evening meeting once a quarter would allow people to be heard, and I think that they would appreciate that. I think that we can hold things like town halls and do that in a very respectable sort of way. You and I were just talking about the doctors and their forum and the way in which that they conducted that, and that being an honorable and healthy sort of way to do that. Conflict is good when we do it in a respectable sort of way, because perspective gives us better decision-making abilities. So we need to have that discourse, but we can do that in a respectful sort of way. And I think that when you are running a meeting and requiring decorum and conduct and civil discourse, then great things can be done.
Okay. We're here with Aaron Reznor, Reading City Council person, who is also has thrown her hat in the ring for District 1 supervisor. We got to take a quick break here. Hey, if you're thinking of purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of the vehicle and charging station, since it seems like we're heading in that direction. I'm sure this question is going to come up in the next 30 minutes about the greening of Shasta County. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We'll be right back after these messages. Rain stopping 8:29 in the morning here on the 3rd of March, 2022.
About a year ago, I set out on the road, seeking my fame and fortune, looking for a pot of gold. Things got bad and things got worse. I guess you know the tune. Oh Lord, stuck in a low diaphragm.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
Shasta Cruising is gearing up for the car show season and will be hosting Shasta Show and Shines from April 16th through the 23rd. Sign up online today for your Shasta Show and Shine 2022 Pit Pass, then check in at each event for your chance to win great prizes. Don't miss the R&R Auto Truck Repair Show and Shine at Poker Run and the Timberlord's Cool Axe Show and Shine April 22nd. Check out the full schedule of events at www.shastacruising.com.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Calling all country music fans. Come see up-and-coming country musician Mitchell Tenpenny perform live in concert Friday, April 1st, inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
I've been sober.
Yeah, this town's been telling me.
Tickets just $50 plus B.
For tickets, call 1-800-280-UWIN.
A must-see. Country sensation Mitchell Tenpenny in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, April 1st. Find your moment at the river.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at River Common Senior Living. You know, Tricia's been showing a lot of interest in this. Doesn't have to put up with dogs chewing through her fence, electrical problems and all this. This is not an assisted living facility, my friends. This is for active seniors. Gourmet chef, pet friendly, great living accommodations right downtown. If you'd like to learn more, give Brian Martin a call at 238-5981. Go down and get a personalized tour. If you've had enough of that living in a place and now you want to have something that's easier where you can spike out to visit family and take trips, River Common Senior Living, Northern California's premier retirement community. We're here with Aaron Reznor, running for District 1 supervisor. The amount of the animosity we talked about that's been over the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Consensus building. Obviously, Patrick Jones and Les Ball were on one side, mm-hmm. and Tim Garman hasn't been in there long enough to find out yet. You've worked with Patrick before, haven't you, or not? Was he gone by the time?
He was gone before.
Okay.
I watched him as a citizen sitting outside, sitting in the...
This is one of the things that I think the community wants is move forward with the great things that we can do in Shasta County.
Yeah, I mean, we're still recovering from, at the county level, the county's still recovering from car fire. We have things in which that we really need to do. And in all honesty, I think that if we sat and actually listened to each other and listened, not to respond to each other, but to hear each other and what the others are saying, I don't think that our opinions are all that different. I think that we just, I say we, but I really mean that board. I don't think that their opinions are all that different. I just think the way in which that they get there is the difference, or where they've had, maybe I should say the crux of their issues, but we do have some real stuff that we could work on. Like I said, the county's still recovering from car fire. And we need a new jail. We have some things we really need to work on. I think that we could be, I know that there are areas in which that we could be united and move things forward. We do not have to agree on every issue. The council is a great example of that. We've done a really good job. The five of us do not always agree. It's not been it's been like that for the last 3 years that I've been on council. It's continued to be like that with a new council member. We don't agree. Sometimes we are 3-2, and sometimes we're 2-3 the other way, and then we move on to the next issue. But there are a lot of things that we can unite over.
Well, it's the jail. I think I don't know of anybody that I've ever had on the show or talked to doesn't believe we need a new jail.
Right.
Yet we haven't been able to pull it together for years.
You're right. I think that there, maybe I'll just say mistakes were made in the past, and certain boards made certain decisions when they had money. But I think that at the moment we have a CAO and we have Magrini in there who are very active. I think that we have a sheriff who's extremely active and wants to head that direction. And I think that we could have a board that wants to head that direction and is solution oriented. I think that that's something in which that I've proved and I'm good about getting people around the table and saying all right, you said no once, you said no twice, you said no three times. We will find a solution. We'll find a way to work around. We'll find a way in which to find the money and make it happen. And I think that we have to do that. We're at a point now where we have to do that. There has to be a top priority and it should unite us.
Carl, we have a couple phone calls.
Terry, good morning. Do you have a question for Aaron?
That's Tommy. Actually Tommy.
It's Tommy.
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 Tommy, do you have a question for Aaron?
I do. I am wondering when she kept her business open but didn't advocate for other small businesses and why her children were in private school when the children of this county were relegated to masks, social distancing, testing, and vaccine. Why she didn't go to school boards and advocate for our children in this county. Why she didn't stand with the recall when she clearly saw that it was the will of the people. And she talks about shedding the divide, but she definitely has widened the divide. As people have tried to approach her, she has canceled people on Facebook, because she didn't like the discourse, the, you know, questions that were coming at her.
Do you have a question?
Is there a question there, Tommy?
I'm wondering what she's going to bring other than what she's already done at the city council, which is just cause her and Julie and Kristen to have a threesome. And they always vote, and they have done nothing that the people want.
Okay, Tommy.
And everything that McConnell Foundation wants.
Okay, I think we got it. Thank you for calling. Aaron?
Hey, Tommy. I think I'll answer a couple of things. Well, first, Carl brought up the decision on Tuesday about REU, so that would be a prime example of a time in which that Kristen, Julie, and I all differed on our opinion or how we would proceed forward. So I think that if you would go back and look at the votes, that you would see that that's happened numerous times over the last 3 years. Also, I'll address the aspect of Facebook because I think it's important. And I'm going to say from one mother to another, if you threaten my children or you tell me where my children are and that you know where they are and you know what car I drive or you threaten the safety of my family, I absolutely will never engage with you. Absolutely not. So, yes, I absolutely have canceled people on Facebook, and that's because I do not think that anybody's children are ever on the table. So I'll move on from that. In terms of my children, I now have one who begged to go back to school. He is in private school, and I have another one who's continued to homeschool. And I think that there is a difference between, I think that the way in which that you get things accomplished, that you often win with honey rather than with vinegar. And so there are ways in which that we have advocated behind the scenes to have those conversations, because publicly shaming people does not move the needle. Publicly shaming people and telling them that they're doing an awful job does not give our citizens any of the things that they're actually wanting. And I think that if you went and reviewed, you would see that I was the one, as I was vice mayor, who actually worked with all of our small businesses to ask them what it is that they want, that I was the one who ran that and partnered with the chamber when Mayor McElvain asked me to, he actually asked me to be appointed because I was the small business owner and I did know all of the rules. And so I worked with the chamber to see what it was that all of our local business owners needed. And then we got millions of dollars into the hands of our local business owners. So, Tommy, if you email me, I'd love to give you the meetings in which that happened so that you can read through how many millions of dollars it was, because it's something like $30 million.
Speaking of kids in schools,
yeah.
The state is going to pull the masking requirement.
Yeah, on the 12th.
But they're still working through on the vaccinations, forcing children to be vaccinated. What's your opinion of that?
I think that a parent is the best decision maker for a child. I think that a parent and their physician are the best decision makers for children. And I think that parents should have a right to choose what it is that they want to do. But that also means respecting somebody else's decision. So what I choose to do may not be what, you know, you choose to do, Carl, with your family. But we're the best decision makers for our children, and I'll continue to advocate for that with our elected officials. I talk on a regular basis to our state elected officials. The bummer is that we're in a blue state, and that is an uphill battle. And so we can continue to make phone calls. We can continue to write letters, which I will continue to do. And continue to engage and reach out to everybody who it is that will listen. But we're in a blue state, and I'm hoping that we can continue to fight against that and that some logic and reason comes above state officials who would make that decision and our governor.
Okay. We're with Aaron Reznor. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 244-9478. They work by appointments only. My barbershop of choice for 15 years. Man's Last Stronghold. So if you haven't been down here, take the time. Get away from the stylist. Step back from the stylist. We'll be right back.
Just take those old records on the shelf. I said listen to them. Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
The 36th Annual Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show is back live at the Shasta District Fairgrounds March 4th through the 6th. Meet world-famous Tag, the 10-foot-tall, half-ton Kodiak Bear, sponsored by KRCR News Channel 7. See Squatch, America's 10-foot-tall, 800-pound Sasquatch. See and shop for your outdoor recreation needs from a host of new exhibitors. You'll see guides and lodges. Sign up to win a guided Kenai fishing experience. Don't miss the Legends of the Northwest Big Game Display, sponsored by Action News Now. For the kids, there's the Pepsi Live Trout Pond, Archery Range, and BB Gun Range. Catch the fishing demonstrations on Phil's Bass Bin. See ATVs, RVs, boats, wall tents, and more at low show prices. All this and more at the Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show, presented by Interstate Batteries, March 4th through the 6th. See you there. For more info, visit ExposureShows.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. We're on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. Today, the 3rd of March, 8:48 in the morning. The rain is supposed to stop today, and at least we got some rain. We're here with Aaron Reznor, who is the on the Reading City Council and running now for Board of Supervisors, District 1. It's been a contentious year, and it's going to be, I think, a contentious election. I hope not. I hope that reason and we all kind of, hey,
Logic
what's good for us,
decorum.
Yeah, and all that. Let's go to the phones. Dr. Danuka.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
thank
on.
You.
Thank you for taking my call. Aaron, thank you for running. I appreciate anyone who runs puts themselves at risk out in the public, and that goes to all the candidates. And that's a democratic process, always been contentious and since the foundation of our country.
Right.
And that's how we grow, and that's all welcome. My question to you specifically is about the COVID-19 public forum declaration. A week ago or so, we came to the city council and presented the forum's declaration.
Yeah, it was there. It was. You guys did a great job.
Thank you. So, Mike, we are looking for support. The county has accepted and adopted the resolution in a formal resolution, and that I understand state still has a final say, but speaks a lot if county and city adopt as a formal resolution. Are you willing to bring that to an agenda item for city council meeting currently and accept as a resolution?
I don't have the power to all by myself accept it. I have
right.
the power.
I understand, but the whole
you know how this goes. Yes. I have the option to bring it up on an item 12, which I would be willing to do, to bring it up on an item 12. I then have to get a majority of the council who would then agree to bring that forward as a resolution. But I actually really respect the forum that you guys held. I really respect the data that you've presented, and I think that you guys have been a great example of what Carl was just mentioning, of logic and reason and the ability to move forward in a constructive way.
Dr. Januka, this is Trish, and I wonder, a little off the subject, if you have presented the opportunity to the Anderson City Council and the Shasta Lake City Council to adopt that.
Yeah, we do want to do that. We do want to do that.
Thank you.
More the merrier. We do want to do that. Actually, just a question of, you know, with our busy practice, we are finding it difficult, but we have intention to go to Shasta Council. City as well as Anderson City Council, but Erin is there, so I wanted to ask Erin. So,
absolutely.
Would you be please let us know how when are you bringing into agenda, and can we count on your support on that at least? Depending on others, of course, live past or not based on other people as well, but we can count on your support, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'll hopefully you can let us know when can we bring it onto the agenda for next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Because
I think that you and I can connect offline. I think that I have your contact information.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks
so
much.
If not, I'll give it to her today.
Thank you so much.
You bet, Paul. Thank you. I know this is, you know, the state of California just cut water off for everybody. We get zero up here. We've got we're in the middle of a drought. What can the county do about it? How does this affect the county? Can the county have any impact on this?
I think the water storage is probably we need to be prepared. At the moment, I know that we are taking water to various parts of our county, which is a really interesting sort of parallel because we also have, I sit on the Enterprise Groundwater boards, which is a mixture of the county, Anderson, a representative from Cottonwood area, and a representative from the city. So all of us in the county, essentially, we put forward a representative, and we have been planning our sustainability plan, which is something like the next 25 years or so. And in the Enterprise Groundwater, we actually are doing really well. And the city of Reading is doing really well. However, there are parts of our county who are in serious drought. And at the moment, we're taking things like water bottles to those areas. So that's another topic that is not sexy, but it's really needed. And we need to do a better job, and we need to focus on some long-term sustainability options like water storage, because droughts are coming and they're not going away. And we need to make sure that our people have the things in which that they need for life.
Historically, the state of California goes through a drought every 7 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only talk about water storage during the drought. And as soon as it's over, we forget to talk about it. And we've got to get into a position where we actually pursue it and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the moment, we have the possibility to do some really great things like that, like water storage. But we got to get around a table and have a conversation and respect each other while we do it.
I ask this for every candidate coming through here. What's your very first thing you want to work on and that you'd like to accomplish?
Get elected.
You
know what?
I'm saying,
took the words right out of my mouth.
If you're elected.
Yes,
I usually start it by, if you're elected, what is the very first
engagement, thing? Engagement between mental health services and public safety. Because I think that at a time now, more than ever, those things are crucial. What it is that our deputies and officers are facing is different than what they have. The environment is different, and I think that we have to do a better job of, like, collaborating. We're on the cusp of doing a really great job, and so I would like to incorporate some of the things we've done really well at the city and get the county more engaged in those aspects, because I think that we can make a difference for our entire community. Also, I really care about pediatric mental health, and over the last 24 months or so, it is extremely difficult if you have a child who is struggling, especially because of the side effects of COVID or the peripheral things that have happened. It is difficult to get a child into pediatric care anywhere within the North State. We have suicide rates that are extremely high, higher than they have ever been. And we have kids who are really struggling, and pediatric mental health is an area where I think that Health and Human Services knows that we need more access to pediatric mental health, especially in the North State.
I think you've just raised a topic that is so widespread and so needed to be addressed. The impact of this COVID on our children, that's two shows in a row.
Absolutely. So those are the things that I think that I would focus on first.
Zero-based budgeting. The idea that each year, when you make the budget, that each department comes in, shows what they spent and what they need, as opposed to just getting, here's 2.6% more. Would you support that?
I think I would have to review that more. If I'm going to be totally honest with you, I don't think that I should pigeonhole myself one way or the other. I think that I would need to review what decision I would make on that specifically. I think we should have a balanced budget. I think that we should make sure that we're spending our money wisely. There are places in which that we maybe are spending that we probably could cut back in, and areas that we should shuffle some of that money over to that would really impact our community. So I would love to review and audit whether it is that we have the right monies in the right places, giving us the biggest bang for our buck prior to me making that decision.
When the state or federal government, county government is an arm of the state.
Right.
And so the money comes to do certain programs.
Yep.
As a member of the Board of Supervisors, every time a money opportunity comes up,
mm-hmm.
would you make the decision to take that money based on whether you need that program and it's going to do well in your community, or are you going to just take it because it's money to spend?
So I would say that I'm the treasurer for the Children's Legacy Center. We work and operate a lot on grants. We receive a lot of grants from the state. And in order to maintain our identity from the Children's Legacy perspective, the way in which that you maintain your identity is to take the money for the things in which that you need and that you do. Because otherwise it's very easy to get lost chasing the money. So I've voted in that sort of way in my nonprofit board life, and I would continue to vote that sort of way in my elected official sort of life. We take the money. That way we maintain the identity of Shasta County, of the things in which that we actually need. But like you said, we are an arm.
But sometimes you take a program that, let's say, they have money out there for something.
Well, like the CARES Act. You're talking about now the CARES Act. If we accept the money, then do you accept the strings along with it?
And you don't know what those strings are into the future.
They tell you what they are prior to. They tell you what it is.
Not
this
in
money
this
is allowed. This money is allowed to. Well, I will tell you that from the city, we waited for an extended period of time so that we could see what the rules were and what the money was going to be and where it was supposed to be, and then we leveraged that funding, knowing where it is that it's supposed to be spent.
When you take the money in, however, you end up hiring staff to do those programs.
Correct.
That in many cases with grants, that money then goes away. Unfortunately, the employees do not. They grow in and they go circulate through the county government and create new facilities.
Sometimes we need to, which is why it is that if you're making good financial decisions, you make a decision that is going to be long term, and then you start budgeting for that prior to that money running out. If that's a program, it doesn't serve us, unless of course a program doesn't work. It doesn't serve us to say yes to money, run a program for 3 years, and then move to the next thing. That's not going to long term move us into the future. We need to be looking at what are the things and the directions and where we need to go, what sort of funding do we go after, and then say yes to the things that we need and not no to something that feels like pie in the sky just so that we have extra money and can hire more people.
The Chamber of Commerce wants to have a debate on April 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to be there?
Yes, I will be there.
Okay. And by the way, KCNR Radio is going to broadcast that whole debate.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we can, you know, people can't be there. They can listen to it, and we'll even archive it so people can go back.
That's great.
Aaron, how do people get a hold of your organization? I always ask this, you know,